Blog Talk Radio.
Jumbo. It's our time. It's our time to declare our destiny. And as we do every Saturday, we have conversations with Dr. Mel Butler. And I'm going to read his bio here in 1 second, as soon as I get back up here. Dr. Mel Butler is a trailblazer, civil rights pioneer, a native of Baltimore, Maryland, and one of 12 children. His accomplishments include Morgan State University graduate of BS in marketing and dual MBA simultaneously in marketing management. Over 50 years of marketing innovation with his work in the first technological commercialization center, which included the evaluation of the Hummer, Hypoxia, and Bad News all-purpose sauce that changed the landscape of barbecue sauce recipes across the United States. Tether Butler is a certified master consultant in the evaluation and marketing of diamonds. Participated in teleconsulting for Disney, Ford Motor Company, United Airlines, as well as a consultant and contractor for Business Administration, MBDA, and the Commerce Department. Tether Butler, a champion for the cause of youth empowerment, continues to work with nonprofits to benefit youth in areas of training and internship development. He also partners with organizations such as Faces Going Places, 501c3, Alliance for Career in Education, LLC, the Harlem Wizards, the Harlem Globetrotters, and Universal Soul Circus. Along with his passion for golf, Dr. Butler continues to utilize his enormous leadership by creating job training programs and representing retail, food, and beverage and sports entertainment interests through his work, Maker to Markets, M2M. Dr. Butler is a vital resource to the next generation of leaders with his Faces Going Places radio show on WOLB 1010 Baltimore by spearheading scholarships, opportunities, university students. Also, Dr. Butler has taught at Morgan State University, Bowie State University, and let's see, where else did he teach at? Morgan State and Bowie. Oh, and Coppin, right, okay. And thank you for being on the line, Dr. Butler, and I'll get to our reading for the day. Every time we open up this show, we do a reading from Daily Motivations for African American Success. And reading for the day goes like this. I just had it in front of me here. Hold on, there will be a second. Can't touch this. Wake up. The hour has come to be more responsible. Change this world by starting with yourself. The world is not going to change until you change. And that quote is from Dr. Betty Shabazz, educator and widow of Malcolm X. I received many letters from men and women across the nation who say they want to be successful but don't know how. They try following all sorts of involved principles, yet they only need one. The following story provides a clue. There is an African ritual that is used as a rite of passage for males bringing from youth to adulthood. The young boys of the village are instructed to find the most valuable thing in the world and return to show it to the elders. One young enthusiast raised from the snow-capped mountains of Nacogdoches, New Jersey. Fascinated, he immersed himself. He climbed higher and higher up through the hinterland to experience the feel of snow for the first time. There among the clouds and the frozen turf, he plunged his hand into the shining coldness and crushed a handful of snow in his marvelous purity. With his hand held tightly closed, he raced back to the village. Villagers were all similar, all disrespected, that eye-catching treasures other youth had discovered, jewels, skills, various wonders of nature. Suddenly, a young boy broke into their midst. "What have you brought us?" they asked excitedly. "See," he cried properly as he opened his hand, but his hand was empty. The village saw nothing. Only the young boy knew the meaning of what had happened. The most valuable thing in the world, he said, cannot be held by the human hand. It's an idea. Repeat that. The most valuable thing in the world cannot be held by a human hand. It's an idea. Today, I will begin to list all of my ideas and set a timetable for putting at least one into action. And that's so important that ideas are very powerful. And, and we taken and implemented this program, the Safe Reentry Program, and the Clean Air Project, hand, is going from being an idea to becoming a reality. And Dr. Butler's going to tell us more about that in our broadcast today. So without any further ado, I present to others and bring to you Dr. Bell Butler. How you doing today, Dr. Butler?
I'm doing fine. Excuse me, Jahi, how are you? How
I'm
are you
fine.
Doing?
I'm doing great.
I know you've had an exciting week, and, you know, I had somebody that was talking about you. Can you hear me okay? Jahi?
I hear you pretty good, but your voice is, can you turn your volume up, son?
That's what I'm trying to do. I have two phones here, and one of them is a new phone, and I think it knows what to do better than I do. So I'm trying to increase the volume. You know, it got all these little knobs on it, and I can't see all the knobs.
Yeah.
But can you hear me okay now? Because I can always change phones. I'm trying to increase the volume. Let me see what we got here. Can you hear me better now?
I hear a little better.
Jahi? A small amount better? Well, I'll try to talk and put the speaker closer. I don't want to try to sound muffled. But, you know, this is the last show that we'll probably be doing. I'll be on for the rest of this year. And I was thinking before I came on about what could I say to some of those new people out there that might move them. I don't believe in waiting until the first of the year to do things. I believe that if you have your goals and if you are really serious about what you're doing, you would have plans set already. I always do my plans, and the week before the year ends, I go over with my people our goals and what we accomplished to see if everybody did what they wanted to do last year. If you didn't do what you wanted to do last year, why are you going to make resolutions for a new year? Finish what you started last year. And I can only recommend to people, particularly those that are working out of their home or have small businesses, finish the goals that you set for last year. Go back and look and see if you did everything in your power to get your goals accomplished and to reach those goals. I do something, it's called the 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing. 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing. For those of you who don't know.
We got a caller.
All right, let's go. Let's go with the caller. Who we got? Caller. Let's go.
Caller. 240-909-1652. You're on the air.
Hello, caller.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hello?
240. Go ahead. Hi, good
Hello?
Afternoon. How are you doing today? Who are we
I'm
have the pleasure
fine.
Of speaking
with? I'm doing fine. This is Cynthia. I just want to listen right now. You just got started, so I was in a listening mode.
Okay, all right.
Kim and I were just listening. Yeah.
This is Cynthia Laney?
This is Cynthia Jahi.
Oh, Jahi, Cynthia. Okay, we got two Cynthias. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and Kim Williams.
Yeah, Cynthia, I don't think we heard you guys last week. What are you guys up to? What you and your partner been doing? And this is a
we're doing that
kind of show we
public
want.
Public adjuster. But I was calling in to hear what you were doing. I really was interested in hearing about what you were doing.
Well, we're still doing our reentry program, and it's interesting. We've run into some very, very interesting people. We've been working with Langston Hughes Elementary School. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. That's in Baltimore, Maryland, a resource school.
Yeah, I'm familiar with
that. Was,
mm-hmm.
Well, they have one of the best programs in the state of Maryland. They're always reaching out to the community. And we had a toy drive, I think it was on Thursday, one of the best I've seen in my whole life. The community people were so well organized, and all volunteers, about 10 companies, 10 vendors, sent their employees out to work. And it went so well, I think they averaged about 500 people every hour and a half, I believe it was sort of like that, 500 kids.
Yeah.
And the ages were from the infants up to age 15. The difference in their giveaway and the ones I'd seen before, they had 10 stations. The kids could go to any station they wanted to. And, you know, in most drives, you can just get one or two toys. You could get, the kids could get any toy that they wanted from any table. So they're with the parents, of course, and some of them had like four or five, six, seven, eight toys. It went so well that I think the employees had to have called back to their company to tell them how well it was going, how well everybody was behaved. Now, this is in the Upper Park Heights area where they claim you don't have a lot of organization. And these were young people. Everything was so good that Walmart, Adidas, the sheriff's office, somebody had to call those people because unannounced they had trucks and trailers that came to the place, started at 2 o'clock, with extra pallets of toys and items that they had not previously set. So it shows that when you do something well, people are watching and sponsors are watching. They there. It was from 2 to 6. And I watched every single vendor, and they gave people everything that they needed. Everybody was so orderly, and I'm not talking about little gifts. It was everything from bicycles, scooters, Barbie dolls, Nintendos, and they had those things. And it was just such a proud moment for me just to see the cooperation, because that's what we need in order for our younger generation to really be able to do things that we do. If we don't set the example, they can't do them. And at the same time, and I hope the gentleman will call in today, there was a young man that I met at this event, and he was raised in a foster home, and he had been sort of homeless for a while, but he did those murals, you know, writing on the big walls and fences and gates and all that kind of stuff. But he did that, and I've never seen anybody. He was never trained for it. He didn't go to school for that. He went to city, went for something totally. He picked that up on his own. And if anybody is in Baltimore or if you come through Baltimore, you should stop over at that resource center, Langston Hughes Resource Center. And he was doing the gym. And in less than a week's time, he had done half the gym without a scaffold, with just a ladder, by himself. And it was so beautiful that the representatives that were giving away the toys, out of the 10 people that came, I believe 7 of them invited him to come to their company and try to do something at the company. Just showing you that, you know, if you think you have an occupation or you have a job, that if you love doing your job, then people will definitely compliment you on what you're doing. And because people are watching. And that guy, just from being there and unselfishly doing the kind of work he did, you have to see it. I took pictures of it, but then I didn't know how to get it online, so I have to wait for somebody to help me do that. But it was just that good. It looked like you were actually standing in a 3D moment, the way he set it up, the way he designed it. And I say all that to say that if you are in a business and if you take your time and make sure that you do the things that the successful people do in business, you will always be a winner. I talked about these 22 immutable laws, and that's something that you can get from the library. You can really pull it up on your computer. But that means that if you do the things that they say in that book, you have a greater chance of succeeding. However, if you violate or don't do the things that are in that book, then your chances of failure are increased. Does that make sense? So the point is, get an idea. I heard Jahi talking earlier about an idea. An idea is out there, but everybody has an idea. And if you don't act on your idea, somebody else will, and there you be. So one immutable law I want to tell you guys about that I think is very, very important if you're new in business. It's called the law of first. The law of first. Cynthia, have you guys heard of that, the law of first?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh?
Yes, she has.
You want to tell us what you think it is? Tell us what you think it is, and then I'll tell you. I'll see how good you are. Go ahead. Let us know. What is it?
The law of first, from what I understand, is like, it's like being on an airplane.
when the airplane alarm comes on, it says, you know, grab your oxygen mask or whatever that mask is so you can breathe, to make sure that you grab it first before you can help others. So basically you have to have yourself together before you can help somebody else.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. But in business, think about this. Everybody that's on the line, think about this. If I were to ask you and your partner, Cynthia, who the first president of the United States was, what would you say? Who would you say?
George Washington, the one that I knew about.
Okay.
Who was George
right.
Washington?
George Washington, right. States. Almost everybody on this line probably would get that right and say George Washington. Now, if I ask you who was the second, what would you say?
I would guess probably Thomas Jefferson. I don't really remember.
right. Well, see, that's the point. Most of us, we know and we will remember the first. The second, though,
sure.
We don't. As an example, another example, if you were to ask a person, well, say back in maybe 5 or 10 years ago, maybe, who the number one car rental place was, who would you say?
The number one what?
Car rental, where you rent cars from, car rental place.
Name one.
I would say Enterprise.
Enterprise, yeah. Hurts.
No, you say that
like
you say that now, but the first most people would say Hertz. Remember when they had O.J. Simpson running through the airport and all that stuff? Hertz was number one.
I do remember that.
Hertz. Now, but right. So you remember that because it was first. Now, Enterprise is excellent because that shows you what happened once you start violating it. Once O.J. Simpson went to jail and you didn't see them Hertz putting all that money in, Enterprise saw an opportunity to move up. So what Enterprise did, that's what's called, you can stay in first place until somebody moves you out of your lane. So what Enterprise did, they focus on nothing but bombarding the people. So they moved Hertz out of first, and now Enterprise, when you say call, even if they go into dollar rental, rent a wreck, when if you tell somebody, if you say who's the first, most people would say, like you guys just did, Enterprise. So the first is you get in the consumer's mind first. If you do, it's hard to replace the first person because people always remember the first. Give you another instance of how it really comes home. People that work in office, business people, if we have to do a proposal or we have to do something and we need copies, many people still say what? Go get me a what? Xerox copy.
Xerox copy.
But
yeah.
Right, but Xerox hasn't been doing anything for years. It's just that they got in people's minds first. So when people think about that, when you get in their mind, that's the first thing they think of. So that's what keeps you in business. The same thing with a company like IBM. You used to say IBM was in number one in its category. So the first person, when you in a business, if you get in the person's head first, you have a better chance of keeping that client, keeping that consumer, because the law of first embeds itself in the person's mind. So when they think of something, that's the first thing that they think of. That's called the law of first. Now, there are 22 laws like that. And when we do a seminar, we teach people all those 22 laws. And if you, as a business person, if you practice those 22 immutable laws, that means the law doesn't change. The situation can change, but the law doesn't change. Get in the person's head first with what you're doing, and it will. An example with me, there are a lot of people, when I worked with the government, I ran a center, Technology Commercialization Center. And that center, the whole idea was that we worked on ideas. It was called Genesis. We called it Genesis Marketing. And it was working with incubation situations. Now, this was many years ago. And only now people are treating incubation like it's brand new. It's been around forever. It's been around for at least 60 or 70 years. And many people on the line, a lot of you guys, were not even born when they first started incubation. The point is, if you're an entrepreneur, And if you have an idea or if you have something that you're going to do, and if you take the time, sometimes it may cost you a little money. Once you get in that consumer's head, then you stay in that consumer's head until somebody can move you out. And they can only move you out with money or they do more advertising. But if you get in first, you don't have to spend a lot of money. And that's one reason I don't have my people go into, say, making New Year's resolutions, because you won't be the first. If you finish up what you did this year, when you go into next year, while everybody's thinking of the resolutions, what they want to do, do they want to lose weight? They want to make more money? Well, if they wait till January the 1st to do it, I'm ahead of them because I make my plan, say, December the 25th. That makes sense?
Yes, it does make sense.
So that's one of the things. And today, of course, we want to wish everybody a happy holiday, since we won't be on next week until the 6th or 7th of January. But I really wanted to thank everybody for taking the time and really having the guts to just get out there and be an entrepreneur, because everybody can't be an entrepreneur. It's not cut out for everybody, just like everybody's not a football player. And I was watching something on TV just a few minutes ago that I had never heard of. It was called the Invitational Rogue, R-O-U-G-E, Rogue event. I'd never heard of it. But it was an international event. Have you heard of it?
I never heard of it neither.
I had not heard of
it. Never heard of it. Well, it was on CBS Sports. And what it is, it's ladies. Now, they have a ladies thing and they have a men. And what they do, they go through all these athletic things like a monkey bar. All of us know what a monkey bar is on the children's playground, right? Well, they had monkey bars and weightlifting and all these different categories. So I watched it because I never had heard of it before. And I was saying, I never heard of it, but here is an international event. And by the way, they had like this. It was up to the finals, and I didn't see anybody of color in it. I counted about 25 or 30 participants. So that's something that is new, but we don't even know about it or we haven't heard about it. I certainly hadn't heard about it, but as I tell my people, because I haven't heard about it, didn't mean it didn't exist. It must have existed for somebody. And so a lot of times people say, well, you know, I have an idea. Sure you do, but somebody else might have the same idea. The thing about an idea is, what are you going to do? If you get the idea, what are you going to do with it? I meet people all the time that say, you know what, I saw the bus coming, and that thing they got on that bus, you know, I thought about that 10 years ago. Yeah, so why is it on the bus? Why didn't you do it? If you had it 10 years ago, if the idea was there 10 years ago, you could have been the person that put it on the bus, or you could have been the person that put it in the store. I met another young lady, and I hope she'll call in today. She has a tea set, the tea that you drink, like you drink coffee. She has a tea set, and I said, hey, I don't know a whole lot of people in our culture that drink tea. But when she told me what it was, she's got put these little stones around it, and you probably know her when she comes on the line. But she put the 12 tribes of Judah on these teacups. That means that the idea is great, and it's an open lane, because a lot of Americans don't drink. People from Europe and Caribbean, they drink tea. When I ask people, they say they drink tea all the time. I hardly ever drink tea unless it's iced tea or something like that. But to have a teacup set. Now, she had that idea, and she stuck with it. She was patient with it. So that's an idea. When I did a little research, guess where that idea can go? It's a high-end product, and it would go in a store like Macy's or Bloomingdale's. She came up with an idea and did something. Initially, in my human state, the first thing came to my mind was, a tea set? Who's going to get a tea set? But that was the thought that came before I checked it out. But I've learned that no matter what the idea is, somebody's idea is good for somebody. So if you're an entrepreneur out there, whatever you're doing, if you stick with it and you really put your, you know, your heart in it and you make yourself be the first and don't let people talk you out of what you do, because everybody can criticize. Not everybody has the heart and the guts to give you accolades or give you compliments or give you encouragement. But we've got a lot of people, for some reason, and our culture will put you down rather than lift you up. So if I could have one message for people on this call today, going out of this year and going into next year, somebody says, well, next year will be a brand new year. I say, yeah. Well, why don't you make it a grand new year and you be in the front? So whatever you're doing out there, put your heart to it. It'll be hard sometimes. You got to be willing to sacrifice. You got to be willing to do what the Bereans did. You got to be able to question everything to your satisfaction. And when you are comfortable and when you can say, I'm not giving up, I'm not quitting, I'm going to stick this thing out. I know it's a little bit hard now, but think about it. If you had to climb a mountain and the mountain was all smooth, could you ever get to the top?
No. Nope. And we got another call on the line.
All right, let's take them.
Caller, 252-266-1490. You're on the air. Hello,
Hello. This is Janice Young from Rocky Mountain.
Hey, Janice, how you doing today?
All right. Well, I was I just came in on the call, but I agree with you with what you were saying about being focused. I agree to that. I find that to be very essential to just block out and have tunnel vision.
Yes.
Have tunnel vision about what I'm doing, because a lot of times people will take up your time unnecessarily, and you know it'll take you off your course. So therefore, I was reading something today, and what do you think about this? It was saying, how about if you would just, if a person would just take off a year and just be about that business, a whole year and just take off and just be about that business. What do you think about that?
Well,
focused and zoned in.
Well, it depends upon what your idea is and what your product is. Most people end up going into business because they, you know, don't like the place they're working at, or they're teaching somebody, training somebody to do their job, and they know more than the person that they train. What I would say to that, Janice, is that if you're going to decide to take off, I would have it in my mind or recommend to the person, don't take off and take off with a year in mind. I would take off for the thing to be successful, because it might only take 3 months, it might take 6 months, but what if it took a year and 3 months and you only gave yourself a year? Then you'd be cutting yourself short. What normally most consultants will, if they're good, will tell a person, if you got to have an idea or a product or a service that you want to put out there, you need to make up in your mind before you step out there that you're willing to cut the string, cut everything that's behind you, and be able to walk away and, like you said, focus on that idea. Because there's one thing about the brain, that the brain will do whatever order or command you give your brain. If you tell your brain, look, we're going to take a year and we're going to work on this thing for a year, you may work on it for a year and then let's say it doesn't happen. Well, the brain says, well, I did what I was supposed to do. You didn't tell me that work on it until it was successful. You told the brain you're going to take a year. So a year and 1 day might be what you need. So you dedicate yourself. I'm sorry.
You're getting a little faint. Somebody running water or something? Because it's a little faint.
I don't know. I heard you reaching in the background. Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Somebody would to turn it down.
It
might be already
clear.
Up too loud.
Okay. You were clear at first. Okay.
Yeah.
So
it could be a radio. Yeah. But as I was saying, that if you, that commitment is the thing that a person should have, but have it until you do the task, because the brain will accept the command, whether the command is to fail or to succeed, unless you clarify to your brain that, look, we're only going to take 1 year. We're going to have this done before the year is out. People say, I want to be a millionaire. Well, that's a good thought. But if you've never been a millionaire before, the brain says, okay, you want to be a millionaire? That's a good thought. But you didn't tell me how we're going to do it. You didn't give me any orders to stay with you or keep pushing you until we have it done. So on that idea of a year, I think that that's great if a person has everything in mind, but I would just add to that, that you have it, or the command to your brain or to yourself should be, I'm going to take off and I'm going to take enough time to get this idea. And you may need help doing it. You know, that's one other thing. People can sometimes reach a goal, but they may not have all the skills that are necessary on their own. So what I teach my students to do is you have a mindset to be able to ask this question, and you can never go wrong. Will you help me, please? Will you help me, please? Many of us, we go into business, and we want to do every position. We want to do every single thing that's there. We don't want anybody else to have it because it's our baby, it's our idea. So we're going to do the marketing, we're going to do the advertising, we're going to do the banking, we're going to do the sales, and then they take their personal money because they don't ask anybody what to do. And the next thing you know, they're either going into bankruptcy or about to lose their car or about to lose their home, because all they had to do was ask somebody. See, people like to help you because it makes them think they're smarter than you. But sometimes you got to just suck up and say, look, I got a year to get this thing done, but I don't know marketing, or I don't know advertising, or I don't know how to write a business plan. But you can go to somebody that does, like SBA. There are a lot of resources, a lot of services. When I was talking about that Langston Hughes building, one of the things they've done, the lady that runs it, they've got 7 different startup businesses in that one building. And they do different things. So I encourage them, talk to one another. Somebody might be stronger in one area than you are. And if you don't ask that question, will you help me, please, some people's ego will not allow them to make those that statement. Or they're stuck on doing it one way. And if you've been doing it one way and you haven't moved forward, you haven't accomplished what you want to accomplish, it's time for you to ask that question to somebody. Would you help me, please?
Yes. Could you help me, please? What is it that you do?
I'm a hairstylist.
Okay.
Where are you located? What state are you in?
Rocky Mount, North Carolina.
Oh, you okay. Right there in Rocky Mount. I didn't get a chance to meet you there. I was there. I had a client that was actually, she did a hair care product. I told you, in Genesis Marketing, you come across everything. But she did a relaxer and a perm, and I didn't, again, I knew nothing about it. If you see my picture, you'll see I know nothing about it because I'm bald as an eagle. But the lady was in Kentucky, and she came up with a relaxer and a perm, and actually we helped her take it to some other states like Washington, D.C., Maryland, and did a franchise. And I knew nothing about hair at that time. But she was saying that the follicles that grow out, that they get coated with that stuff, the perm? Is that right, Janice?
You do what with the perm?
Yeah, she was saying that the buildup and the shaft, of when people, they start losing their hair because of the perm and the whatever chemical they use would build up in the on the shaft down on the you know, when the hair follicle grows back.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had, I noticed when people got, I guess, a perm, and they pat their head. And they pat their head because what? It's itching or something, right?
It could be many causes.
Well, you see them patting their head. Uh-huh. is that why they pat it? Because it's itching or something?
And yeah, it was fun.
And they're trying to be cute when they do it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, how long have you been in business? Actually, I used to attend, I took my clients to some of the shows, like the Proud Mary show. And down in one of the big shows used to be in Atlanta. Bonner Brothers, where did you go to any of those type shows?
Yeah, Bonner Brothers show, yeah. I was going early on, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So do you rent your chairs out, or are you in there by yourself, or you have your own place, what do you have?
Yes, I'm right now, since COVID, I was fortunate enough to have a back house in behind my house. So we took that and turned that into a salon. So I'm a one woman show right now.
well, you need to get with Jahi, because that's what our safe reentry program is. We have a product that you can put in your shop, your regular shop, the one that if you came out of it, and it will kill the germs and it will allow the people to come in. Because it works once you just coat it on the wall, it's transparent, and it will sanitize and keep your whole place sanitized. We have restaurants that do it. We have daycare centers that do it. That's what we do on our safety entry program. So you need to talk to Jahi. And Jahi, what's that lady's name? Is it Nina that has the accounting firm in Rocky Mount?
Nina White.
Right. Well, why don't you get with this young lady and let her know and give me the information, because you don't have to work. I mean, you can work out in that place, but you can work in your shop. It will be perfectly safe. And what it does, it kills all the germs and bacteria. It's an air purification system. But it's not a machine, and it just works by, you can coat your wall with it, and it will kill germs, kill bacteria, it will kill mold. And you could work in there safely. So, and did you have other people working for you? So you're one woman person now, but did you have other people working with you before, or what?
Yes, I had as many as 12 people working with me at one time.
Well, you could bring those people back, because our program is called Safe Reentry. It's a pilot program that we've been doing now for 2.5 years. And we have people that have had the product. As an example, I'm a senior citizen, and I've had the product in my place. It saves on my energy, and I've had it. My system has been on for 3 years, never turned it off, and it works perfect.
Oh,
so that's good. But if you want to get
it's been on for a continue, it's been on for a continuous 3 years.
Yep, 3 years.
Wow, that's impressive.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The good thing for us is right now we control the lane. I was hired by a company that over 4 or 5 years ago to help them get it on the market. That's what we used to do. That's what Genesis Marketing is. It's taking a person's idea and then working on it until it gets on the market. But in that business, I guess God is good, because I'm glad that you spoke up, because I tell people on this call all the time, if they don't speak up, we can't help them. But if they do, then we can give them some help. But if you had 12 people and those 12 people want to come back to work, then we can help you.
Oh, okay. And also, you were talking about speaking up, asking questions. And I think that's very essential for young kids.
Absolutely.
You know, because some kids are introverts and, they don't know how to, like a lot of young adults might be not passing in school or don't understand anything. So it's essential to let them know how to ask questions. Finally, yeah.
And that's important. I mean,
so
that's,
what do you
that's
think about
critical.
That? I want some power bombs. Say it again.
Did I hear somebody say, I want some help?
Huh?
I heard somebody say, I want some help. I don't know who it was.
Oh. So I'm saying,
how do we need to help those kids?
Oh, well, we do, we're doing something, it's called YMIT.
Mm-hmm.
Young Millionaires in Poland. And what we're going to do in the areas that we have it, we're going to take the young people and teach them how to start a business. And they'll actually have a real business that will show them how to start it and show them how to ask those questions. Believe it or not, I was extremely introverted. I was really a nerd when I was younger. And I wouldn't talk to anybody. I would stay in a corner because I was homeless for a long time. And I'd be just developed a hermit-type attitude because I thought that I developed a little poem when I was about 8 years old because I was kind of abused at that time. And I had this poem that I said, and my mindset was people often ask me who or what I am, but I don't like to tell them because they really don't give a damn. And I had that attitude probably until I was 15 or 16 years old. So having been in that position, homeless and things like that, and also in school, the kids don't ask questions because many times they see everybody, say, getting A's and B's, and maybe they might not have anybody to help them along. So they get sort of pushed back in the corner because everybody usually, the ones that get the A's and the B's, they give them to them over and over and over again. They get all the scholarships. They get all the attention. So people like me who were in the lower 10%, nobody ever even said, get up, stand up, go down. So in the mind of a child, they want attention. They want love. They want somebody to show them something. So they don't realize that if they do something bad, it's bad. They just know it'll get them attention. That's part of the problem that they have with the crime today. Kids are doing it now because they know they're going to get attention. So we have that. We include them in all of our programs. We have space for the young people. We teach them things that they never would do on their own, such as golf tournaments, having recognition-type parties. We have something where we recognize them, even if they just did one thing. We don't care if they did something. And that's why we do the basketball games with the Harlem Globetrotters. The kids never pay for the tickets. But they have to be accountable. They can't get a free ticket to the game unless they show some sort of improvement. And that might be just raising their hand one time. So we do things like that. And, of course, Rocky Mount is one of the areas we are hoping that we can get something down in that area where you guys could, you know, be able to do the same thing that, say, we do.
Where are you located again? Excuse me.
Our headquarters is in Baltimore, Maryland. But, of course, Jahi is right there with you, Rocky Mount. So he knows. I've been down there about, what, Jahi, 5, 6, 7 times?
About 5 times.
I've been down there a lot of times. Huh?
So you came down about 5 times.
Right. So I didn't, like I said, I missed you, Janice, but that's one of the places that really is on our development plan is that, so maybe you and Jahi can get together, and definitely if you had 12 people at one time, how would you like to get those 12 people back?
Well, you know, a lot of them, it's been a while ago, and a lot of them, you know, they opened their own because I encourage people to become independent. Well, where I am located, when I did have the business, I try to encourage people to become self-employed themselves. You come here to learn and to build, and that's good, but you also want to be independent one day in your life.
Absolutely.
So that's what I encourage people to do.
Well, that's good. We have a barbershop up here that does exactly that. There's about the husband and wife, and they have about, I think on the barber side, they have 8 chairs, and then in the same building on the other side, the wife does nails and hair, and they do that. And actually, we work with the prison system. And his plan, he's a barber, and when they come out of prison and they need something to do, he takes them in and keeps them until they can become a master barber, and then he rents one of the chairs to them. And like you said, he encourages them to go out on their own business And on the mm-hmm. other side of the building, his wife does the same thing. But she has mm-hmm. to, you know, all of her stuff is on one side. I think she has about five or six chairs. He has about mm-hmm. eight. So, I mean, mm-hmm. even if you were going to learn how to maybe have them have a safe business and the product that we have, that our product could benefit them. And what you're doing is a great thing. So we still would like to work with you because you're helping people, and that is our main focus, is helping the community. In fact, I won't even take a client unless they have a program that includes giving back to the community in some way, whether it's time, mm-hmm. service, or money. We don't care, but they have to do that.
Okay. So, you know. Oh, yeah. So you know that the upcoming fantastic pastime event now is pickleball.
Well, I, you know, when I first started, I was going to say that, but this thing that I saw today is later than pickleball. Pickleball has been, I mean, that's kind of the rave. You know, I'm not so keen on it. I've seen it. I've kind of tried to play it, but if I'm going to play ping pong, I just play ping pong. If I'm going to play tennis, I'm just going to play tennis. But that you know, that shows again what an idea can do.
Mm-hmm.
That,
mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's a good example of what an idea can do. And this mm-hmm. rogue thing, like I said, I was amazed that it had such a following, and I hadn't heard about it. You know, normally you hear about these things. Pickleball mm-hmm. now, I mean, you got pickleball leagues all over the country now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, my baby sister plays pickleball.
Really?
My baby sister
really
loves to play pickleball.
She likes it? Have you done it, Janice?
No, I haven't done it.
No, I've seen it.
Friends that do it, but I haven't done
yeah.
it. No, I haven't.
Like I said, you know, everybody, you know, to everybody, to each his own, and
mm-hmm.
I watch it, and I think it's okay, but it's not the kind of thing that I want. I learned to play golf, and I was, you know, I being from the streets, I never thought I would play golf either, but that's why I never say no to anything. It can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Pickleball is a great example, because that just caught fire and just flew. I don't know how. When I looked at it, I didn't see the appeal that it would make me, you know, gravitate to it like that. But
yeah.
You never know. You never know. Somebody is mm-hmm. always out there with an idea.
Yep.
And they,
so let me ask you this. So you're mm-hmm. saying about golf. So I play golf. And, yeah. So how would you incorporate that here?
Oh, my goodness. You will be surprised. As a matter of fact, the bed and breakfast that I stayed at there in Rocky Mount,
mm-hmm.
her
Old
nephew, mm-hmm, her okay. nephew lives in, I think he lives in Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
And she was all excited because her nephew, about 16, 17 years old, he was playing golf, and they had him going to a golf academy to play with one of the professional golfers there, and they were getting buses of people to go down. I do a what we call community unity
uh-huh.
golf tournament, where we
uh-huh.
if a person doesn't know how to play, we teach them how to play, and then we have a tournament and put them in it. It's a part of our contract.
Oh, that's
so
wonderful.
We teach them to play. We teach them to play so that they can then one day have their own tournament, and within 3 years they can have their own tournament. So anybody that we had a contract with, one of the things that we do is we do an awards thing for them. We do a
mm-hmm.
basketball game for them. These are fundraising
mm-hmm.
things, and we do a golf tournament. In fact, do you know what an albatross is?
Not exactly. No.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm not going to tell you what it is now. You find out what it is, but I have what's called an albatross. You can look
okay.
at albatross in golf.
It seemed like I heard that before. But, you
oh,
know,
yeah. but,
mm-hmm. back in the day, you know, Tiger Woods opened up a program for young black kids to play golf. Do you remember that?
He still has it. Now, do I remember? We were part of it in Jacksonville, Florida. We Tiger from, well, I lived in Jacksonville, and Palma Vida is where the near the World Golf Village. And Tiger first tee program. It's still going on. Here's the program that Tiger started. The it's just that the Golf Association, National Golf Association, they pay it. So yeah, it's the first tee program.
Uh huh.
Yeah, yeah. The most major golf courses have it for the young people to join. And of course, if a person wants to learn to play golf, you know, getting some lessons, that's one of the things we encourage them to do, because they don't know. They made us believe that golf was so expensive, but it's not. It's not. For your money, I think you get the best deal that you can get. You go to a movie and pay more than you pay for playing golf.
Yep, $20 for a day is not bad at all.
That's right. That's right. If you get a soda, a hot dog, and popcorn, you can spend about $45.
Yeah.
And counting the ticket. Yeah.
And that's
and
because
golf,
they always – go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, that's because they give us the wrong perception about golf.
Of
it's not that complicated, because when Tiger Woods put it out, I put my daughter in it.
Mm-hmm.
So she's a golfer. Her husband's a golfer. I'm a golfer. And, you know, I want more black females to get into it because, you know, it's not what they think it is. You know, you make it seem like it's hard, because, but it's not.
Well, Janice, here in Baltimore, you would not have that problem, because women are the fastest growing group here in Baltimore. On the golf course that I play at, the two largest groups are women. My sister, who was a teacher, oh yeah, you come to Baltimore. No, they take over the golf courses here. They found out why we men get addicted, and now they're all over it.
Yes.
Yep. At our course, we have three different ladies groups, and my sister, who was a teacher for 32 years and would sometimes go with me, and, you know, one of the people that swore they didn't like golf, it was too boring, too long, too hot, too cold, too wet, everything you could think of. And what I decided to do, I said, well, I knew how golf would be for her mentally, you know. It's a great game mentally. And so I taught her at home. My sister now, right now, she was 32 years in education. She will not go anyplace.
Without her club.
Without her club. Church, when the church goes on something, I mean, she's gone like from one extreme all the way over. I told my sister, I said, you've gone too far. She said, oh, no. She said, I got to make up for lost time. But to the people that's on this line, and Jahi will verify it, golf is a thing that I insist that you do, that you play. Because think about it, anybody on the line, you never see a ugly golf course.
Never see a
you
what?
You cannot play an ugly golf course. In other words, all golf courses, no matter what, I mean, they're
green.
They're beautiful. You got go out, you can connect with nature if you're an outdoor type person. And, I mean, it's just something that's good for you mentally.
Mm-hmm.
I learned, I thought I would hate it. I was one of the young kids when we were young. We would steal the golf balls from the white people and then go back and sell them the same balls back to them. That's the only thing I knew about golf. But now it is the cornerstone. Even in my seminars, we always have a golf pro so we can show people the relationship of golf and your success. You have to have a plan to play
beautiful.
Golf.
That's beautiful, man, because one thing black women don't have to worry about, they don't have to worry about getting their hair wet.
That's right. That's right.
You don't have to worry about doing too much of a sweat.
What I found with golf is that women will learn to play golf. They're different from men. When y'all learn to play golf, you will play even if you don't know how, but you'll play until you can beat that man. I have husband and wives come out there. I have doctors and their wives come out there. And I ask the women all the time, and they all say the same thing. I said, why do you keep coming, you coming? And they are serious about that, about the game. When they learn, when women learn to play, I got a lot of my best tips from watching the ladies play, you know, on the tour, LPGA.
Mm-hmm.
And in Florida, you know, they have golf is kind of like second nature. If you don't play golf in Florida, then you may as well move to another state. because everybody plays golf. Yeah, but no, I would love to do that. And since you said it, one of the things that we probably would do is have a golf tournament in that area.
And you know what? A black young man bought Bimineau Country Club golf course here in Rocky Mount.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you know them?
I don't know them. I think they're from out of town. I don't know them.
How far
I haven't
is
been,
it?
I'm sorry. I haven't been playing golf that.
How far is the course from you guys? How far is the course from you guys? Is it
it's right in Rocky Mount.
I will make a trip there just to meet them. If you can get, can you get the name of the club or between
sure.
you and Jahi, get me the name of the place? Yeah, I will come there.
Okay. I sure will.
Yep. So you can get your people back and maybe and I try to get people like you guys, let y'all sponsor. I'll show you how to have the golf tournament so that every year you can have one. That's how you'll get your women, like people like the accountant Nina, the lady that we met. I think she has a building that she's getting several other businesses located in her building.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can show you how to get enough people to do a golf tournament. Oh yeah.
And you, excuse me, and you said she's in Rocky Mount.
Yeah, yeah. Nina White.
Nina White.
Yeah.
Yeah, she got an award with the Chamber of Commerce down there.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
She's Who's sister that Cynthia?
Nina
White. Who's sister is that? Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Tom, if I do, I don't remember, honestly. I don't have any idea. Okay, no problem. I'll find out.
Well,
no problem.
Well, Janice, I found out that my best friend, he passed away, that his family, I didn't know it. He was up here in Baltimore, and I later found out that his family was very prominent down in the Rocky Mountain. I didn't know that. His wife told me, the Fletcher is his last name.
Fletcher,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I still talk to his wife up here. Now, he was a schoolmate of mine, classmate of mine. But I had no idea because I had not gone to Rocky Mount when I was dealing with him. I'd never gone down there. And when I went down to visit Jahi and started, talking to different people, I came here and I was talking to his wife one day. And she said, you went to Rocky Mount? I said, yeah. So what do you know about Rocky Mount? And she went on to tell me about, the family and they had a house and all this kind of stuff. And I said, wow, what a small world. It's so small.
It's a small world.
But I love golf. I do. And I insist that when I work with people, because I found out how good it is for us as a group of people, we don't realize. And women, if they only knew that you can find some good men, because golf makes a man turn into what he should be. You have to be accountable to play golf. You know that. You have to. You cannot just have your way in golf. You got to respect other people in golf. You got to obey the rules of golf. So I find that, and that's why all of my young men, I have a whole group of young men that I have been mentoring, and they had never really played serious golf. And now they're not only serious golf players, the business is going great, and they are excellent young men. Because, we grew up different. Yeah, we grew up different from ladies. Some of the authors of the books that I have, one of my authors, Lolita Kelson, she wrote the book, What Real Men Think. And she only interviewed men. It was sort of like an answer to the book that Steve Harvey did. But her book, she only interviewed men. And the book was so good that Spike Lee, that one of his producers, Bad Jackson, the guy who played the father Precious in the movie, he did her book into a play. We did a play of her book.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Lots of good things. It's good talking to you. Johnny, anybody else on this line?
No, just my wife. We need to wrap this up. Could you close us out, Dr. Butler, with, a recap of the Safe Entry Program and the Clean Air Project?
Yeah. Yeah, for everybody, since the virus is coming back, two things I would recommend you do. Look at the on the computer, and look at 60 Minutes from October the 30th. It's on YouTube. It's
okay.
Called The Air We Breathe. And the reentry program, the safe reentry program, what it is, it's a program that using a product that cleans the air that will make your venue, your home, your office safe for people to return. So not only do we have that for your business and your family, but we also have an opportunity. We're going to establish 10 different regions, and we're looking for people that might want to learn how to add the product. They don't stop what they're doing, but they can add the product to whatever it is they're doing, and they will probably, you know, make an extra six figures. That all they got to do is get in touch with Jahi. And since Janice, you're there in Rocky Mount, we had wanted that to be one of our locations. So if you'll get with him, then I can make a trip back down there, because we are now ready to expand and have some people get in that lane. So it's called the Safe Reentry Program, and we're tying it into solar panels, and it's open to everybody that's on this call. And if you're working with Jahi, then you get in touch with him, and then we can teach you. We'll teach you what to do. But it is a open lane of opportunity that, I mean, you won't be sorry, and we will teach you, train you, and show you what to do. All right?
Oh, okay.
I really enjoyed this, and I hope everybody will have a happy and blessed holiday. Kwanzaa, whatever you're going to be doing, just do it with love and be safe. And God bless everybody.
Yep.
God bless
and
you,
today
Dr.
Is my birthday.
Well, that would
mm-hmm.
And today is my birthday, so this was some good information on my birthday to
Ooh,
hear
birthday.
About this good information, especially re-entry.
Well, that's good. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. Thank
it's
you.
Your birthday. It's your birthday. Happy, happy, happy birthday.
Yeah.
We should have known
all
that
right.
At the beginning, yeah.
Close out
our phone call, everybody. Yes. Mm-hmm.